Philippians 1, one verse, verse 6. I said, I'm going to speak to you today and bring just a simple message to you. And I was telling Brenda as I was starting to prepare this message, I had young people on my mind. Because I missed out on a lot of blessings as I was growing up. Because I just didn't understand. I didn't understand a lot about God and His words. Didn't understand a lot about the promises that God had made to me, to His children. But you young people here today, would you listen to what God says? And it's not just for young people too, it's for all of us. You know, God's word is filled with so many promises. Wonderful promises God has made to His people. What God has done for us. And we're going to talk about that today, what God has done for us. And if I had a title for a message today, and probably sooner or later I'll be asked the title of my message, was just say, God at work. God at work. God at work in our lives. And we're going to try to see today, to try to show you through God's Word, that God didn't save us and just forget about us. God's at work. God's still working on us. You say, well, I thought God's Word was finished. No, Jesus finished His work on the cross when He came and He laid down His life and paid the price for our sins. He shed that precious blood. That part of the work was finished. But now there's still work. Even though you're here this morning, you're a child of God, God is still working in your life. Or you better hope that He's still working in your life. Ephesians 1, verse 6. What Paul has to say, and you know, I think we should pay attention. It says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You know, we could read over that verse and not pay it too much attention and go on and read more. We read a few more verses, we might not remember what that verse said. So I'm just going to read that one this morning. And I'm going to read it again. Being confident of this very thing, this is Paul speaking through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What is he really saying here? Well, verses prior to that, Paul greets the Philippians there with prayer and thanksgiving, being thankful for they're the people that they are. And that's good. He's giving praise to his people. There's nothing wrong with giving praise to God's people. You know, if you're going to give roses, give them to the living. They're not going to do the dead any good. So it don't hurt to give praise to God's people. But in verse 6, he kind of changes things around. He's sharing with them the good news that God's still working. He's working in them and through them, working on them. And I ask you a question this morning. Is it not good that God is not finished with us yet? God just didn't save us and forget about us? And this whole thing that we've heard, and you've heard me say it over and over again, is saved, satisfied, and set down. That's, you know. But, unfortunately, some people are saved, satisfied, and they set down. They through. But God's not through. You know, I was looking through and trying to find material for my message. I run across an old song. It's kind of a children's song, and maybe this is what kind of made me lead more toward the young people. I'm going to read it backwards this morning. I'm going to give you the chorus first. It says, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. But verse 1 went like this. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to His plan, fashioned by the Master's loving hand. Keep that thought in mind as we go through this morning. God is not through with you yet. If you're here this morning, you're a child of God. God is not through with you yet. God is still working. Just as Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, none of us hadn't arrived to where we need to be. We hadn't arrived to where we're going to be. We're still a work in progress. God's still working. I'm glad today that I'm not what I used to be. And I'm glad that I won't be tomorrow what I am today. Now, who do I have to give credit to for that? Not me. Give credit to God. God's the one working on us. He'll get through with us someday. He'll finish that work. You know, as we travel this road towards eternity, we're just potters. We're just clay in the potter's hand. God's fashioning us. He's making us what he wants us to be. You say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. If God wants you to know what he wants you to do, you'll know. If you have a desire to know what God wants you to know, you'll know what he wants you to do. So today I want us to look, young and old alike, the reasons we have for rejoicing and the fact that God is not finished with us yet. He's just started. We can have a wonderful relationship with the Lord if we just open up our lives. And I would say, speaking humanly, let God do his work on us, but we don't let God do anything. Now, the Bible teaches we can quench the Spirit, and I've done that, and you have too. But if we'll open up our hearts, open up our minds to God, let him take control of our lives instead of us trying to control our lives, what a blessed life that will be. So if you're here this morning, you're a child of God, you have several reasons for rejoicing in your relationship with the Lord. And if you're not saved, I don't know your hearts. God does. You may not know as good as God does. And one reason that's led to this lesson is when I say that, you may not know your heart as well as God does, you don't. But so many times in people's lives, they get confused about their salvation. Many people doubt their salvation. Many people wonder if they're actually saved. And many people ask the question, how can I know that I am truly a child of God? How can I know that God has saved me? Hopefully I can answer some of those questions from God's Word this morning. So if you're here this morning, you're not saved. You can be. You'll just come to Jesus by faith. It's not nothing hard. Question is this morning, though, are you confident that God is working on you? Do you have that confidence in your life that you are a child of God and God is continuing to work on you? Work in your life. So we want to talk about being confident this morning, part of our message. And our confidence is a profound confidence. If we look at our verse, Paul uses a strong word to describe the hope he has in Jesus. The word confident means to persuade, to convince beyond all doubt. What Paul is saying in this verse is that he has been persuaded beyond all doubt that he is eternally saved. Paul is exalting the fact that the saints can have absolute assurance that they are saved and that they will go to heaven. Now that was the confidence that the Apostle Paul had. And he's writing to these folks here at the Church of Philippi. Listen, folks, there's a great blessing that you can know, that he that has begun a good work in you will finish it. And Paul wasn't alone in that belief. The Bible just flows, it overflows with verses that tell us that we can know for sure that we're saved. And how we can know that we're saved. We're going to use a few Bible verses this morning. I'm going to look them up and you can if you will. Several of them are going to come from the book of 1 John. So if you want to turn to the book of 1 John, We're going to read a few verses. How through the revelation that God gave to John here, since we're in the book of John, 1 John, that we as God's children can have that assurance in our hearts that we are a child of God. And then we're going to see that God just didn't just save us and forget about us. So 1 John 5th chapter, verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." One verse should be enough. But let's go further. You ask that question in your mind. How can I know that I am saved? Look there in 1 John 5th chapter, verses 1 and verses 4 and 15. 5 verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." And 4 and 15 says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." So how can you know that you're saved? You can know that you're saved when you believe in Jesus Christ. How can you know that you're saved? When you turn your back on the old life of sin. There in 1 John again, chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" How can you know you're saved? When we put that old life behind us. We put our trust and our faith in God. We follow Him. We can know that we're saved when we have a desire to keep His commandments. Look in 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he's walked." How can you know that you're saved? God's word is teaching us. How can you know you're saved? When you love your brethren. Look at 1 John 3, verses 10 and 11. "For this is the message that you have," or verse 10, "in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteous, not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." We can know that we're saved. We love Jesus Christ with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and we love our brother as ourselves. That's one way you can know it. There's other ways. When His Spirit's abiding with our spirit, we know that. 1 John 4 and 13. 1 John's full of a lot of verses. 1 John 4 and verse 13 says this, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." So I ask you this question this morning. Is there any doubt in your mind that God does not want you to know that you're a child of His? Could there any question be? I think these verses should prove it, much less the rest of them, the numerous more. You know, they're just numerous verses in His Word. So the ability to know that we're saved is not just some wish or something we think about. We can know that we're a child of God. It's a biblical truth. It's something that we can know for sure. So I ask you this morning, do you know that you're saved by the grace of God? By His grace. It's the only way. We talk more about our confidence. Well, as we see there in verse 6, Paul is very confident. He's overflowing with confidence that he knows he is the child of God. He is a child of the King. It's personal. And each of you as a child of God can know that this morning. Paul used the word you. This assures that he speaks of his very personal nature. You need to know, and you need to know based on the evidence. You need to know based on the Word of God, not the word of another. You see, your mother telling you that you're saved, not going to get it with God. And just throw this out there too, if anybody is listening under the sound of my voice that believes in baptism and regeneration, you need to get the nonsense out of the head. There's no such thing as baptismal regeneration. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ and accepting Him. And as you know, we're going to see more about that as we go along. But this being baptized or sprinkled when you're a baby does not save you. That's hogwash. And I know there are people, if they listen to this message, they believe that. But it's foolishness. Just like it's foolish for the mama to tell you you're saved when you're a child and you grow up thinking you're a child of God and you're just as lost as you can be, and you will be lost until God's Spirit deals with you. Now, our parents, we are supposed to pray for our kids. That's right. But we don't need to try to talk them into coming and walking down the aisle and getting in the baptismal pool and thinking everything's going to be all right. The child needs to understand what they're doing. And the baby don't understand what he's doing when he's being sprinkled. Call baptized. You need to know that you're saved, and you need to know it for yourself. You need to know it without a shadow of a doubt. Look at 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Let God talk this morning. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, if I can find it. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Pretty strong words, isn't it? Examine yourselves. There's nothing wrong with doubt. I've doubted mine more than one time, a long time ago. So there's nothing, you know, I don't encourage, you know, I don't think it's a good thing to doubt it, the salvation of the Lord, but people do. But we don't have to. We do not have to know. We need to examine ourselves. Then we see that our confidence is powerful. There's nothing more liberating and freeing to the Spirit than knowing for sure that you've been saved. Some people will tell you that you cannot know for sure. I say they lie. They dead wrong. Those who do not know live in constant fear, doubt, and worry. They are always trying to get the matter settled. And they should get it settled, just as I had to. But what a blessing from the Lord it is to be able to say with confidence, I know that I am saved. Do you have that confidence today? Can you sing blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and mean it with all your heart? If there's a doubt, you need to make it right. Have peace in your life. God wants to have peace. He don't want us wondering, us walking around wondering if we're His or not. It's too much. He's not going to speak through some loud voice and tap you on the head. No, he's going to speak through His Word, just the verses I've already read, and many, many more. We can know. We don't have to doubt. Children, you're here this morning, and you profess Jesus Christ your Savior, you don't never need to doubt that. You don't have to doubt that. God assures you, you can know. If you don't know, make it right. And sometimes people let pride get in the way. Well, you know, back when I was a young feller, I made a profession of faith. And later on, I realized I wasn't saved, but I was just too proud. Hogwash. Who are you trying to please? When we talk about our commitment and our confidence, why can we have confidence? How can we be assured of our salvation? Let's talk about the commitment of our Savior. This confidence that we possess is not something that merely dwells within us. The activity of God in us, around us, and for us also makes our confidence in Him something that is precious, powerful, and real. You know, we need to realize this morning God's not just trying to perform some kind of experiment on us. He's not experimenting with His people. He's not giving us a little taste, and He's not putting us in a test tube, and He's not doing this and that and the other and letting us try to figure it out on His own. Salvation started with God, and it's going to end with God. The whole process is because of God and who He is. Well, what did God invest in our salvation? What did God do? What makes God special? Why should God be special in my life? You say, well, that's a foolish question, Brother Robert. A lot of people ask those questions. What did God invest for our salvation? The Apostle Paul says, listen, I'm persuaded with all my heart, I'm very confident that God that begun this good work in you, and I say God that began the good work in you, He is the one that started. It's not of yourselves. We're going to see more about that in just a minute. But this is all of God, folks. It's all Him. It's all about God. The beginning was about God. The end will be about God. And all of it in the middle should be about God. It's God working in our lives, perfecting us, preparing us for that day that He mentions there, for the day of Jesus Christ. That day's coming. And God's preparing His people, preparing you and I for that day that we stand before Jesus Christ to give an account of what we've done in our lives and how we've lived and what we've done for Him. How we loved Him, how we loved our neighbor. All these things, when we stand before God, we're going to have to give an account of it. And God is preparing us for that. He prepares us through His Word. Through the preaching, the teaching, the studying of His Word. He prepares us for that. And He is the only one that can. We can't do it ourselves. And He is the one that is worthy. So, Paul says, with these words hath begun, Paul covers a lot of spiritual territory. We all know what God did for us in the day He saved us. But what we need to consider is the fact that our salvation began before we realized it. Do you ever think about that? Sometimes I ask myself the question, maybe you do too, and I'll just throw this in for no extra cost. I wonder sometimes, was I ever lost? Was there ever a time in my life I was lost? I said I asked myself that question. But our salvation began a long time before we knew it, folks. God loved us before we ever existed. It was hard to imagine the love of God in. Wow. Jeremiah 31:3 says this, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I, God, grown us. Jeremiah was teaching the same thing that Jesus taught, said no man can come to the Father except the Father draw him. Jeremiah had enough sense to know that God was the reason for his salvation. He knew that God had drawn him. We're not going to come of our own. It's all God, folks. It's all Him from the beginning to the end. It's going to be all about God. And people, if you out there listening, if you think it's about you, you need to get the foolishness out of your head. It's all about God. God saved you. God's going to keep you saved. And when you stand before God, it's going to be because of Him. It's not going to be because of anything you've done. It's all Him. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. I know y'all don't have to hear this, but maybe somebody needs to hear it. Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6. Got a lot of people out there on TV and everywhere preaching, they don't believe in predestination, they don't believe in the doctrine of election and all that. On what Bible are they preaching out of? We talk a lot about translations. I don't care what translation you're reading out of. Basically says the same thing. Ephesians 1, verses 5, 4 through 6. Well, no, I done lost my place. Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6. Having predestinated us into the children, to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Not only did He choose us before the foundation of the world, it was His will, and He's the one that made us accepted to it. So what did we do? What did we do in our salvation? The only thing we can do, Lord, here I am a sinner, save me. We can't do that without the grace of God. God prepared a Savior for us before the world was formed. 1 Peter 18 through 20. I don't have time to read all these verses. That's 1 Peter 18 through 20. God prepared a way for our salvation before this world was ever what it is. God finished our salvation before we were born. He done it through Jesus Christ and through the work He did on the cross. God drew us to Himself and gave us faith to believe in Jesus by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, we're so very familiar with that, those verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If people is looking for something any plainer, I don't know where they can find it. Again, I say, our salvation, it's all about God. Paul is assuring these Philippian people there that God started the work in you. I'm confident God can finish what He started. But the question is to you today, are you confident God's going to finish what He started? Or are you one of those that don't know God, that you're not saved? Can be. And God saved us eternally when we were called, on Jesus by faith. And that He gave us that faith, as we just read. In other words, the Lord has made a substantial investment in our salvation. I can't see Him walking out on us now. Can't see that. I can't see God turning His back on us. Now or ever. God did not do what He did in vain. There was a purpose. He did it in order to save our souls. Even for the foundation of the world, as we just said, God had a plan. God had a people. Step by step. God carried out that plan. Step by step, God is working in our lives every day. Every day. We talk about our lives. We talk about our salvation. Some people ask the question, well, how is God involved in that? Those people that think that they can do what they're supposed to do, do what's right, treat their neighbor right, go to church two or three times a week, put a little money in the offering plate when it comes by, and everything is all right. Folks, it's not all right. It's not all right. God is involved in our salvation. If God has not been involved in your life, then you don't have that. And we're told in God's Word, Paul's telling us here, that the same God who began that good work, He will perform it. That's a promise. We don't have to doubt. We can be just as confident as the Apostle Paul was. This good work that He has started, He will perform it. And that means to bring it to an end, to complete it, to accomplish entirely, to furnish completely. Whatever it takes, God will do that. God can do that. God will do that. God is able to do that. We're not able of our own. We can't do it. God will continue the work He has begun in you and me until the day we are perfected. And our life is complete and we're home with Him. God did not save a single saint to lose them along the way. He saved us by His grace and saved us for all time and eternity. We have His precious promises to form the basis for that wonderful guarantee. Many, many, many places in the Bible we can see that. You see, it was not our works that saved us, and it is not our works which keeps us. We're saved by grace, kept by grace, and secured by grace. The whole thing is about grace from beginning to the end. What was God's intentions when He started this work in us? Was it just to start and play around with us? No. I want God's intention. That word "until" there in that verse tells us that God is doing what He is doing in us with some end in mind. We're headed somewhere. In other words, God has some intention in saving us, and if we can understand that, then we can understand why we can have the blessed assurance that we are secure in our salvation. God saved us to make us like Jesus, to be Christ-like. And He'll keep on working on you and me until that level of perfection has been achieved. He did not start this to fall. He started it to finish. To fail. He didn't start it to fail. He started it to finish it, and He will finish it. Aren't you glad this morning that God has a plan? Because if we'd have been left up to us, where would we be? I would have messed it up a long time ago myself. But our salvation belongs to Him. He started it, He maintains it, and He will finish it for His glory. We can't mess up, folks. We can mess up, but not when it comes to our salvation. We can't lose it. We're in God's hands. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even ourselves, much less any other creature. I don't want nobody to misunderstand me this morning. We have a lot of people, and we hear this all the time, you know. That's what's wrong with us Baptists. You believe that once saved, always saved. And you think you can live any way you please and it will be all right. Well, I believe that I'm eternally saved. I believe that God has a place prepared for me. But I don't believe I can live any way I can because I don't believe God's Spirit lets us live any way we can. We don't have a desire to live any way we can. Charles Spurgeon said one time that I'll just kind of phrase it, put it in short form of what he said. You know, when he was a little fella, I think he said he was sitting on his grandpa's knee, and his grandpa told him, he said, "Son, one day you're going to be a great minister." Well, he said, "I didn't go and live my life knowing that was going to come to pass, that I didn't have to do anything in the world." He said, "I went out and I studied. I done everything that I could on my part." He said, "That's the way it is with God's people." Just because we know that salvation is ours, is, you know, He's given salvation, that we're saved, and we got a place waiting. That don't mean that we just, hey, I do anything I want to. It should encourage us, and it does encourage God's people to work for Him. We should strive towards that perfection. You know, salvation is unconditional. But nothing says I love Jesus more than the life that we live and the things that we do for Him, and obeying His commandments. I know time's getting close, but we get through. Now let's find comfort in the Scriptures, and let's examine just a little bit. Paul tells us that God will keep working on us until the day of Jesus Christ. But we don't need to confuse the day of Jesus Christ with the day of the Lord. A lot of people do that. I believe there's a difference. The day of the Lord describes final divine judgment and wrath. The day of Jesus Christ looks to the final salvation and reward and glorification of believers. That's what Paul's talking about here. God getting us ready. God working in our lives every day. God's working through the work of the Holy Spirit. But there's going to come a day when this ends. There's going to come a day of termination. And we won't be here. There's comfort knowing that this earthly life will not last forever. You know, the older I get, I sometimes don't know where I'm going to look forward or look back. Or just sit and wonder, ponder all the mysteries. But that day's a-coming. When the saints of God will leave this world with all of its hardships and all its sorrows. We're going to leave it behind. It could be two ways, and we know what they are, and I don't have time to go into those. One's through the rapture and one's through natural death. We know it's appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. You know, we should think about death as just a stepping through a doorway out of this life into the life to be with Jesus Christ forevermore. Regardless of how we leave this world, if we are saved, we're a winner either way. And then there's going to be a day of transformation. When we leave this world behind, we will enter into heaven. There we will be changed. This vile flesh with all its appetites and affections will be left behind forever. And we will be changed into His image. What a day. What a day that will be. And then there will be a day of translation. Not only will we be like Him, but we will be also, we will be with Him. To be with Jesus in His presence, in His heaven, will be glory beyond compare. Thank God when this life is over, there is a far better life waiting on all those who know Jesus. That should be a comforting truth to us this morning. I want us to remember three things from this message. Hopefully we remember more. Let's remember the beginning of our salvation. That it is the work of God, it's the work of grace, and it's the work of glory. And then we look at the continuation of our salvation. It's an ongoing work. I said it's a work of progress. We was saved, and we're being saved, and we will be saved. And we could call that sanctification. God's plan is for us to become Christ-like. And then we should remember the completion of our salvation. God's plan is to bring His children home to be with Him. God's promises is our guarantee that He will. And let us also remember that God is the one that performs this work. So in winding up this morning, we need to thank God that He's still working on us, that God is still working. He will continue to work until every single one of His children is at home with Him in heaven. Someday, God will finish His work in us. I've never been satisfied with the me I know down here, but I will be satisfied with the me that I will be when I arrive there. The psalmist said in chapter 17, verse 15, "As for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wait with Thy likeness." Folks, it's going to be hard to improve upon perfection. And when we wake up with Jesus Christ, we will be perfect. There's no more improvement. Now there's improvement to be made in our lives. And God will make that improvement through His Word. Through our obedience, through our love, through His love, God will perfect us to be what He has called us to be. So don't despair this morning, Even if you're one this morning that might have doubts about your salvation, you don't have to have doubts. If you're here this morning and feel like God's gave up on you, don't despair. God has not gave up on you. God will not give up on you. He's still working. He will not lose you. You will not lose your salvation. If you have it this morning, you'll have it forever. God will not leave us. He'll keep us and bring us safely home one day. Some of you may be this morning, like I said, I don't know your minds. I don't know your hearts. I would want to think, and I do think, but I don't mean I know. But some of you may be having doubts about your salvation. Some of you may wonder if what you have is a real thing. Sometimes I don't have answers. But I would just say this. The best way to get it settled forever is to bow before the Lord. Confess your doubts and claim afresh the promise that was made to us in the Bible. Some that I've already talked about. If you have any doubts, you don't have to wonder. And then again, if there's anyone here that knows you have not been saved, I'll just tell you now that you don't have to live another minute without Jesus. If He is calling you to come to Him and you have that desire to be saved, you can come to Him right now. Call on Jesus by faith and He will hear you and He will save you. So if you are lost, and you can feel something you may not understand happening in your life. Maybe just a little something in your head. I don't know how to really describe it. I could tell you about mine, but sometimes a lot different. But if you can feel God's calling you, you can feel God speaking to you through His Word, you can come. You can be saved. You don't have to go anywhere, really. You know, that's what preachers get into. You can come down the aisle. God save you where you're at. He save you at work. He save you at home. Going down the road like He did me. There's no special way to be saved. But it's special when you are saved. And if you're not, and you feel like God's speaking to you, just listen to it. Listen. And if God's speaking to you, you don't have no choice. Because you see, we believe in irresistible grace. God's not going to call you and speak to you if you're not one of His. It's just not going to happen. I thank you for your time, for your attention. May God bless you.